Let us pray. Holy and gracious God, we enter into this season of Lent, this disordering season. We bid you come, send your Spirit upon us. Startle us even in this space with the good news of life that is really life. This morning, God, may the words of my mouth and the meditations of all of our hearts be pleasing to you. O Lord, our God, our rock, and our Redeemer. Amen. So this Lent, we are centering the reality of disorder, the gospel of disorder, we're calling it. And I know that in the midst of so much disorder all around us, it might seem strange to center it in our Lenten practice and discipline. Yet I'm convinced that this Lenten movement of repentance, of turning, of changing one's mind, is an invitation into and through disorder. As I talked about in our newsletter this week, Father Richard Rohr suggests that the spiritual transformation that the path of spiritual transformation is always akin to a movement from order through disorder and into reorder. And we see this movement throughout the biblical narrative: creation, fall, redemption, captivity, wilderness, promised land, life, cross, resurrection. And so I don't think it's an accident that a regular and intentional encounter with disorder has been built into our liturgical rhythm with this season of Lent. And I think each of our gospel texts this season, when we've seen through this lens, seem to emphasize this movement and specifically the reality of disorder as an important part of our own transformation. Whether it's Jesus in the wilderness, talk of losing one's life in order to save it, or turning over tables in the temple, disorder is ever present. Now, I know it might seem odd to call this disorder the gospel, but at its core, gospel means good news. And in that sense, even the uncomfortable or painful state that disorder so often is can be good news in the sense that it opens up the possibility of our transformation into new life. To be sure, it is antithetical to so much that permeates Christian culture, in which disorder of any kind is to be avoided at all costs. But as Father Richard Rohr has said, to grow toward love, union, or salvation, we must be moved from order to disorder, and then ultimately to reorder. This past Wednesday, as we do every year, although admittedly a little bit differently this year, but as we do as part of our Ash Wednesday service, we marked ourselves with ashes in the shape of the cross. And that action always comes with the words, "Remember you are dust, and to dust you shall return. Repent and believe the gospel." I think in our culture, in which we work so hard to avoid the reality of our own mortality, those words themselves are an invitation into a certain kind of disorder, an invitation to see things a little bit differently, to step outside the regular way that we look at the world, the regular order of things, and look differently at ourselves, our world, our neighbors. Now, no doubt that can and probably should cause us a little bit of discomfort. And on Wednesday in our house, as we were doing these things over Zoom, in our house we marked one another with the cross, and I marked Elijah's hand with the cross. And then about 30 minutes after the service, he came into our dining room, and he looked at me and intently said, "Hey, Dad, it was a little uncomfortable, and so I washed it off." Now, of course, he was at least in part talking about having the very practical reality of having that soot on his hand as he was getting ready for bed. But I couldn't help but think, oof, yes. It is uncomfortable. Being confronted with one's own mortality is a little uncomfortable. Disorder is a little uncomfortable. If only we all could be that honest and vulnerable about the way that disorder makes us uncomfortable and how sometimes we would rather just wash it off. But here's the thing. There is something about the spiritual life and movement and growth and transformation that without some encounter of disorder, that growth and transformation just wouldn't be possible. For sure, I sometimes wish that wasn't the case. But it seems as if without some or several moments or experiences of disorder over the course of a life, we become stuck. We become stuck in a way of seeing the world or comfortable in the assumptions we make about God and our neighbors, assumptions that are rooted more in things like fear and scarcity than abundant life, as our value and our worth come by our comparisons with one another and not the divine image within us. And it's those encounters with disorder that if we are willing to sit with them, willing to be present with them, resist that desire to wash them off our hands, it's those encounters with disorder that can nudge us, move us into turning, into changing the way we see and live in the world, into transformation, into repentance, into new life. Of course, disorder isn't always painful or uncomfortable. There are moments of joy that cause disorder as well, moments of ecstasy that can disorder us and lead us into a reordering of our lives. In fact, I think we get a glimpse of both of those in our gospel lesson today. It's a familiar story, and the way Mark tells it, it all happens so very fast. Jesus ventures out to be baptized by John and then is thrust into the wilderness where he is tempted for 40 days. After that, he begins his ministry proclaiming the good news. There's a few more words in Mark's version, but that's basically the story as Mark tells it. But this is such a significant moment in Jesus' life. I would argue that both of these things together, baptism and wilderness, is a disordering kind of moment. If not the disordering moment for Jesus. Here he comes, away from the city, out away from the regular order of things, the social order, the economic order, the religious order, the household order, all of the ways you can think about how things are typically ordered. He comes out away from all of that, and as he is in the waters, the heavens tear open, the Spirit descends as a dove, and a voice comes saying, "You are my Son, my beloved. With you, I am well pleased." You see, it's here in the waters that he is named and called the beloved of God. That he experiences and encounters that unmerited love of the Creator. And this joy-filled moment had to have moved him and shaped him. I think it's here that Jesus begins what can only be called a disordering. And it encompasses both joy and discomfort, both baptism and wilderness. Because you see, from this moment, he is immediately thrust into the wilderness. As Mark tells it, the Spirit drove him immediately out into the wilderness. And it's out here that he begins to draw some conclusions about what those words he just heard at his baptism might mean. Out there in the wilderness, he lives for 40 days in the resonance of what that word from God might mean, absorbing and assimilating the full meaning of what was just said to him. Beatrice Bruteau suggests that in those waters of baptism, Jesus is ultimately a representative for all of us. and what was said to him should not be reduced to a personal or exclusive word, but as a word about all of humanity. In those waters of baptism, what God is making clear is that we are all beloved children of God. And Jesus sat with that truth in the wilderness. And that is a disordering word, because it upsets the regular order of things. It upsets a social hierarchy that's built on comparison, where one's value comes not from one's being, but from one's capacity to produce. It's out here in the wilderness where Jesus is hungry and exhausted. In the midst of the wild beasts, in that chaos of uncertainty, out here in the midst of temptations, that the full implications of baptism are realized. And it's a disordering moment, because it caused a reexamination of the fundamental assumptions of the way things are. The disorder of wilderness led to the reordering of life. I mean, think about it. From here, he goes immediately and preaches that the kingdom of God has come near. He says, repent and believe the good news. And in those words, he is inviting everyone into that same disorder. And this disordering and reordering, this good news, impacts how he spends his days, how he lives his life. I mean, who does he spend his time with? He spends it with prostitutes and with lepers and with widows and with orphans. He calls tax collectors and lowly fishermen to be his disciples. He shuns the expected order of things, those rules and rituals and customs around power and cleanliness and insiders and outsiders, rules around table fellowship. He shuns that and embraces that disordering and reordering good news of belovedness, of God's boundless love for everyone. And of course it cost him. Of course it cost him. And we'll explore that a little next week, but the reality is that disorder is uncomfortable, sometimes even painful. It upsets the order of things we have grown accustomed to. And more often than not, people would rather just wash it off their hands and return to the way things are instead of moving through it and reordering into life that really is life. But here's the thing. In God's economy, even the disorder can become holy. As Debbie Thomas put it, even our wilderness wanderings can reveal the divine. This is not because God takes pleasure in our pain, but because we live in a chaotic, fragile, and broken world that includes deserts and wilderness. And because God's modus operandi is to take the things of shadow and death and wring from them resurrection life. Or as the song we sometimes sing says, God makes beautiful things out of the dust. Order, disorder, reorder. And I think these wilderness wanderings, these moments of disorder, come upon us in personal and intimate ways, but also in communal ways. They come upon each of us. And I'm pretty sure if we wanted to, we could take a moment to unmute and share each one of us, and each one of us could name a season of disorder in our lives, perhaps even this present moment. the loss of a job, the death of a loved one, the birth of a child, the breaking of a relationship, an unexpected, ecstatic encounter with God. We could each name a season and talk about our experience of wandering in the wilderness, our experience and struggles of being present to that disorder, the temptations we faced in those moments to either just wash it off our hands because it was so uncomfortable and then return to the old way of things, or to sit and be present to the disorder and allow ourselves to be transformed, to repent and believe the good news. And I'll be honest, I think of this moment we are in now, together, with this beginning of Lent as such a stark reminder that it has been a year-long moment, almost, of wilderness wandering, marked by all that has come with COVID, but also so much more that has unfolded in that year. So many significant things. We've had Black Lives Matter protests, and then what seems like a response of white supremacy on January 6th. It all very much feels like we are in the wilderness of disorder. I've heard people refer to that time a year ago when COVID wasn't really even a thing on our radar. I've heard people refer to that as the before time. And I've started saying that myself. It's a little funny, I suppose. A little post-apocalyptic. But for me, it's a way to acknowledge that this season we are in now is different. It's different than the before time. It's a whole lot like wilderness wanderings. It's a collective disorder. And so I say the before time as a way to remind myself to stay present in the disorder and to not simply long for the way things were, but to be aware of what we are learning about ourselves and the way things were, about the assumptions and comparisons and fear we all lived with and had and how they shaped our lives. To be still and aware of what we are seeing anew about how things were ordered. And so I say the before time as a way to remind myself that from disorder and disruption come transformation and life. From death comes life. And how in the disorder we are, and I am, we are being invited into transformation, into reordering, into something that is actually good news for all God's beloved children. Repent and believe the good news, Jesus said. The path of faith, the path of spiritual transformation is always a movement from order through disorder into reorder. It's the pattern found throughout Scripture. It's the path of Jesus as he leaves Nazareth, goes out to the Jordan, baptized, finds himself in the wilderness, and then begins his public ministry. I'm convinced it's the path woven into Jesus' words, repent and believe the good news. The invitation for us is to be willing to sit for a little bit in the discomfort. To be willing to sit for a little bit in the discomfort of disorder when it happens upon us. To be present to the wilderness when we find ourselves wandering in it. to open ourselves to the possibility of transformation, trusting that even the disorder can become holy, and that the way of God is to take the things of shadow and death and transform them into life that really is life. Trusting that God can indeed make beautiful things out of the dust. Thanks be to God. Amen.